Karlsson, Karlsson, världens bästa Karlsson. Karlsson, Karlsson, hoj här kommer Karlsson. Karlsson, Karlsson, ingen faktiskt, ingen annan Karlsson spelar jag så bra som mig.
Karlsson, Karlsson, Karlsson scores!
Karlsson, Karlsson, världens
yes, welcome everybody to another episode of the Keeping Karlsson Fantasy Hockey Podcast, the longest running fantasy hockey podcast in the world, hosted by a guy who totally doesn't regret dropping Quinton Byfield last week right before he finally got a couple of points. It's okay. That always happens. You drop a guy, he gets a couple of points. We'll see what he does today. Okay, we're recording Monday. I'm your host, Ilya Dubrovsky, and with me are three guests, because it's an annual tradition. I'll introduce them one at a time. First of all, back from his vacation, coming off another win for his juggernaut cacuffle team, it's Brian Kamm. Brian, welcome back.
Hey, thanks. Yeah, I just squeaked one out. Against the 3-9 team, we had two of the better scores in the not two of the best, but two of the better scores in the division last night. So shout out Jason, the Rathmel Renegade. Like, sometimes it just feels like, yeah, Jason could have used the win more than I could have. I'm just saying. It's a bit of a boast. But I'm not to be cocky or complacent or overconfident. I think I've actually just been surpassed. Remember that McDavid trade we talked about on the show a couple weeks back, where Mason traded like five guys for Connor McDavid and Jake Sanderson?
So yeah, that's probably worked out really well for him. McDavid's been insane. Yeah.
Really well. Mason has recently taken the points four lead in Tier 2 Pittsburgh from me. I think he's up by like four fantasy points on the season now, powered by like McDavid's 250 or whatever in his last 2 weeks or whatever since acquiring him. I don't think it's going to be a freebie. Like it makes it look like it's been an easy season where I've been really good, but it has not been, and I worry for what's to come. But hey, you won too. Congrats on winning your matchup. It's nice to be in a good place around this time of year, because we know this is when it's like, oh, my team's not doing so well. Life got really busy. I kind of disconnected for a couple weeks, and I don't know if I. This is when we start feeling like that fantasy fall off, right?
You mean when we suck?
Yeah, or when people hit the moment and realize like, oh, I lost. I don't want to lose again. I need to step back or take a break. Which
right.
is also do what you need to do to be healthy.
No.
But if you
Fight.
Can, a win is valuable at this time, just to stay in the game mentally, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, look, I definitely have had that thought before when having a bad season of like, is this really the right hobby for me? Should I read more? But no, like, this is fun and this is great. And you're right, Brian. I'm coming off a W as well. It was a squeaker on my side as well against Team Stoof. But okay, people don't want to hear only about that, especially with our special guests here today, because we're doing our annual crossover extravaganza with the Fantasy Hockey Life podcast hosts. So with us are Victor and Jesse from Fantasy Hockey Life. Victor, want to say hi first? Are you available after all the excitement of the World Junior Championships? I'm surprised you were able to make some time to talk to us today.
Oh yeah, well, it's still going on. Got the game on right here as we're recording, so checking that out. But this is probably the least interesting one. It's Canada and Denmark, you know, so that's a should be an easy win for Canada. But yeah, I've been enjoying the World Juniors, been enjoying the end of the year here, and happy to be back with you all, Elon and Brian.
Yeah, and Jesse, always a pleasure to hear your very professional radio voice.
Thank you, Elon. It's great to be back. Great to be talking with you guys. Yeah, you think about the why do I feel like that almost every week, Elon? what's going on with my roster here? But I love it. I love doing this episode with you guys every year, and I'm pumped.
Yeah, so let me just get into the rules and we can get this baby started, because it's going to be a long one. First of all, this is going to be a two-part episode. First half on the Keeping Karlsson podcast feed, second half on the Fantasy Hockey Life feed. So if you're enjoying it and you get to halfway through, we'll give you instructions at the end. But yeah, you're going to want to go and subscribe and download the episode from Fantasy Hockey Life to get part two. Basically, we're doing a draft where each of us are going to end up with one player per NHL team. And every round, someone gets first pick in that round. They pick the team, and then they choose a player from that team. And then we all go in order, picking players from that team. The wrinkle is that we're only allowed to take players that are less than 70% rostered on Fantrax. So it's not that easy. You can't just take Connor McDavid and win the league like Mason did. You're going to have to dive in a little bit on the underrated guys, and it'll be fun to talk through some of these guys that we're interested in. Hopefully this will be valuable content for people listening. Not only fun to listen to the draft, but also to hear about some players that we find interesting for the second half of the season. It's just points only forwards and defensemen, no goalies. It's just going to be total points, no peripherals. And the only final rule is we all have to end up with at least 6 defensemen. So that's the one thing. But aside from that, we're free to pick who we want. The draft order has been set. Jesse picks first in round one because Jesse's the big winner from last year. Kudos, Jesse. Congrats. And that's your big reward. And then we're going to go in order of finish from last year. So Jesse, then me, then Victor, then Brian. Then we're going to snake around. So in rounds 4 and 5, Brian's going to get first pick. But let's just get this baby started. I think people will figure this out as we go. So Jesse, you've got the first pick in round one. Tell us the team we're going to. Tell us who you're taking. Also, let us know who's not available so everyone knows who we're all choosing from.
Yeah, there are several teams. I'm sure we'll all, these first few picks will be cases where we see one guy who's kind of above the rest. I'm going to start this draft off with New Jersey. In that team, I cannot take Jack Hughes, Jesper Bratt, Nico Hischier, Timo Meier, Luke Hughes, or Dougie Hamilton. And so I am starting off the draft with Dawson Mercer, the forward of the New Jersey Devils.
All right, solid pick. Mercer's on a 53-point pace on the year. Again, obviously, we're only counting the stats starting from, let's say, tomorrow. So Tuesday, December 30th forward, that will be... and I don't know if anyone's done the research into how many games played that gives all of us, but you know, hopefully it'll be somewhat even. All right, so you're going Dawson Mercer, so I get the second pick then, and then it'll be Victor and then Brian for the Devils. I think it's tough because... right away, I'm going to the research here just to update an injury. Simon Nemec, sorry, I'm giving it away. He's going to need more time from the sounds of it. Okay, too risky for me. Give me Arseniy Gritsyuk, who's been getting a lot of time in the top 6 recently. Hopefully, he'll hold it for some reasonable amount of time to make it worth this pick. So I'll take Gritsyuk and over to Victor.
Yeah, definitely interested in Nemec. He's one of the higher point per game guys on this team. It might be a bit risky, but you know what? I'm going to go ahead and take Nemec because I think when he does get back, hopefully he'll get a few more points. A lot of the forwards are kind of a little bit lower than that. So thanks, Elon. I'll take Nemec.
Yeah, New Jersey's bad. I was just like, I'm live researching as we go. And like, right before we started with New Jersey, I'm like, man, I really need to get Dawson Mercer before anyone takes anyone else. Here I am picking last on New Jersey. I'm not going to make it too hard here. I'm just going to take Andre Palat. He's the only player remaining on the team who's, you know, ever had more than 30 points in a season and playing regularly. So I'm going to go, that's it. I have nothing more to say. Let's not waste our time talking about Andre Palat, please.
Yeah, Andre Palat, the classic, just, you know who he is. What is he pacing for this season at this point? Like 30 points, I'd guess?
If he's lucky.
Yeah, so probably he'll keep that up. Oh, no, 16, actually. Oh, he's having a really bad year. Well, maybe he'll have a better second half. It's not like he has great options aside from him. All right, so my pick to start round 2, going to go to the Buffalo Sabres. You all get some good players on Buffalo. I don't think this is a New Jersey situation, but I'm definitely going to be taking the risk that he does. The injuries are done. And now Josh Norris is going to be point per game and awesome for the rest of the year. Somehow not above the 70% threshold. I'm seeing here that Tage Thompson, Dahlin, and Alex Tuch are the ones I can't take. And then Norris is right there at 69%. So just barely made the cut for me. This was as of, by the way, like Tuesday or Wednesday of last week when I actually generated the spreadsheet and pulled the data from Fantrax. I don't know if it's still the case, but we agreed that we would just go with whatever was on the data on the spreadsheet back when I pulled it. And Norris makes the cut. So there we go. Now, Victor, you get second pick on Buffalo.
Well, that was definitely the team that I wanted to go first, because as you noticed, it definitely, I think, is a big advantage, unless it gets injured, as you mentioned. But I think Josh Norris has been pretty awesome since he's been back. Point per game player. Will it continue? If he's in the lineup, I think it certainly can. So that was a good pick. I don't think this is a terrible one to go second. I think Jason Zucker should be pretty good. It looks like he wasn't on the ice today, but I don't think that's a long-term thing. So I think Zucker should be fine. He's not too far off and hopefully less injury prone than Norris. So I don't mind that too much, Elon. But yeah, over to Brian.
Okay. Yeah, well, I think I'm going to keep it pretty chalky here. I'm just taking a look at what lines we've last seen the Sabres run with in game action, which includes tonight. I see Josh Doan playing up with Tage Thompson. There hasn't been a power play yet, but that 5-on-5 exposure is enough to break. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Is enough to break any tie for me with the other guys I was considering. So, yeah, Josh Doan, 55-point pace. He's definitely going to be my best player at this point, ahead of Palat.
And, yeah, there's questions with all these guys, right? I mean, Norris and Zucker, we got the injury stuff. Doan, and I'm going to go Zach Benson, I guess, as pick number four here, 57-point pace. 16 points in his first 23, but he's also getting up there in the top six. So let's do a little Zach Benson now.
All right, then my turn to go first.
That's correct. Round three over to Victor. Victor so far has taken two injured players. Let's see if you're going to pick someone now who's actually going to play this week.
Oh, well, you wouldn't want me to win, would you? yeah, I think this is interesting always who to pick. I think I'm going to go to Nashville, actually, which probably isn't too bad for everyone else because they have some pretty decent players. First, I'll mention who we can't pick. We can't take Philip Forsberg, Roman Josi, and Steven Stamkos, which that probably wouldn't have been the case too long ago, but Stamkos has come on recently and been pretty good, so he is not available, but Ryan O'Reilly is, and actually has the highest points per game pace per on the team, actually at 0.89. So I'm going to take Ryan O'Reilly, and you know, I guess there were some rumors that maybe he might get traded if he was available. If he goes to a different team, it probably wouldn't be as good for him. But I still think that he probably wants to stay, and he's a pretty decent pick, reliable anyways for decent points.
All right, that means that. If we did this a few weeks ago, Steven Stamkos would be available. But now he's just on that 70% threshold, as anyone who had him available is getting back in on Stamkos. And actually, Nashville has like a top line now. And I feel like it's been a while. Like, I don't know how long they've had this top line, to be honest. Like, it doesn't seem overly familiar to me. But Stamkos, O'Reilly, Forsberg, all playing together. Stamkos has been quiet for what it's worth. Tonight's game just started, so I'm not going to count it. But he had one shot against St. Louis. That was his lowest shot total since back on December 6th. Since then, he's had almost three or more shots, between three and nine shots on goal in about six of the eight games he's played in that stretch. So I'd love to see Stamkos continue shooting. We'll see what happens tonight. I can't take him, but I just want to talk about him for a second. I'm going to take Luke Evangelista, who I'm holding a candle for in a couple formats, including the Keeping Carlson Ultimate Patron Fantasy League, kkupfl.com, just because he keeps shooting and the points aren't coming. But like, I'm a believer in, he's soon to be 24 years old, but officially this is age 23 season. Evangelista has taken 15 shots over his last four games. 4-4-4-3 are the individual shot counts. He's gotten some turns on the more heavily used power play unit. I would love for him to get a little more lineup exposure than where he's at now. Tonight he slotted in with Michael Bunting and Eric Haula, which is, I guess, the second line in Nashville. When they do stack that top line, there's not a whole lot left. So, I'm gonna take Luke Evangelista and hope that some of those shots do translate into points at some point, because I think they will.
Yeah, Evangelista seems like a great player. I got him for free in a dynasty league at a free agency earlier this year, and I was pretty stoked. He's been good ever since then, so it makes me that was the best feeling, right? When you get a free agent, that's a high pedigree guy that someone gave up on. By the way, Nashville may not be trading Stamkos or O'Reilly or anyone because they're actually pretty close to all of a sudden, like they're on a bit of a surge. They have 36 points. Bottom wild card right now is 39 points. San Jose Sharks, like they're totally right in it in the Western Conference. So this is a team that looked so terrible, and now they're like a sniff away from the playoffs. So maybe they'll be loading up at the deadline. That would be an insane thing for them to do, but you never know. Anyway, this is an interesting pick for... Oh, it's not even my pick. I've just been blabbing along for Jesse's pick. Sorry, Jesse. But this was great content. So I'm sure people won't mind.
It was good content. It was solid content, Elon. Evangelista would have been my pick, too. I think, and Victor was very right to pick this as one you wanted to go first on. Ryan O'Reilly, I think, is head and shoulders above. I am going to take my chances that Jonathan Marchessault, who's been day-to-day a lot, but it looks like he's skating, he should be back soon, is going to be better than he has so far this year, which has been not great. And, he's got the track record. And again, if they did decide to sell, it seems like this is a guy who maybe could be moved. So Jonathan Marchessault, for me, as the number three guy on this team.
Okay, and again, I apologize for talking ahead of you, Jesse, but I wasn't going to pick Marchessault anyways. Yeah, he's had a really rough season. I don't know if he's just like hit an age curve thing or if it's like just the team situation like Stamkos earlier. So I could see him doing better. Now I guess I can talk freely. No other picks in this round. There was a stretch where Matthew Wood was looking really good. He's kind of hit a bit of a wall and now is playing in the bottom six. I'm kind of torn between either taking my first defenseman, taking a boring choice like Brady Shea, get like 15 points, or I think there's an underrated guy, Eric Haula. We haven't talked about much on the show. He's like a solid like half point per game guy. He seems to be producing like get power play points from the second power play somehow, which I guess Brian would say is like makes his point total unsustainable because he's not gonna be able to keep it up. 8 power play points so far this season, 2 assists in the last 3 games. Yeah, you know what? Whatever. Future Elon will figure out where to find defensemen. I'm gonna go with Haula. I think he seems pretty solid for a half point per game, which is pretty good for a fourth pick, I think. So now over to Brian for the first of his 2 firsts in a row.
Okay, 2 firsts in a row. Gosh, how did I get so lucky? I paid the price already with New Jersey. Okay, with my first. I'm just peeking at a couple depth charts here to see which team I can go like is shallower than the other. Okay, I'm gonna go with Elias Lindholm over in Boston, who I do regret. I had a chance to get him in a couple leagues where I had dropped him when he got injured, and I didn't get him, and. He hasn't done. He's on currently pointless in 3 games. He did have a 7 shot effort in there, and since returning, he's pointed more often than not. Really, he hadn't gone pointless in 3 games total before going on this 3 game pointless run. I guess he has been off the top power play unit just for a little bit lately, which. I'm not sure. Obviously, I don't love that he's seeing a lower share of his team's power play time. Although tonight, Lindholm is playing with Pasternak, Zacha, and Geeky. They're just spreading the wealth in Boston a little bit more between some other units, it seems. Lindholm's playing with Geeky at even strength. You need that Geeky exposure at this point. So I'll take Elias Lindholm in Boston, and then I will pass it on over to Jesse.
Yeah, that was definitely one I was hoping to have the first pick on. Lindholm's a great pick. I will go then with Pavel Zacha, who I think is probably the second best available forward. By the way, I believe on Boston, yeah, Pasternak, Geeky, and McAvoy were the unavailable players. So Zacha, who's on the second line here, is going to be my pick.
Yeah, so it's over to me now. And yeah, this is a pretty big drop, I think. Because yeah, with those guys unavailable to be taken, if you look at the top 6, I could go like a super boring guy, or I can grab a defenseman who's been doing nothing. Maybe I'll just grab the defenseman. Hampus Lindholm has really done nothing, but he like plays big minutes. So you'd think at some point, maybe some points will come. So I'm going to just eat my medicine here. since I don't love anyone on the Boston forwards, grab Hampus Lindholm, get my first D. Victor can finish it off, and then we'll take a break.
Yeah. So interesting, Elon, that you didn't take Nick Blankenberg. I was really kind of surprised on Nashville that you wouldn't have gone with him, because he seems like he's getting more points than I would have expected. And might
he's cold. He had a run. He had a run when like Yosi was injured. I think it's been a while since Blankenberg has. He's like 1 point in his last seven games. So you know me. I'm a what have you done for me lately kind of guy. So like Blankenberg, friend of the podcast through his cousin Norm, but dead to me at the moment.
I think it'll be interesting to see who has more points, Hampus Lindholm or Nick Blankenberg, rest of the season. It might be close. Might be close.
Well, I don't have the choice of Blankenberg here because we're on Boston.
I know, but you have to look it. At.
But I wanted Eric Haula. If it was Blankenberg or Haula or Lindholm, I don't know. Or if it was Blankenberg versus one of these Boston forwards, maybe I would have gone Blankenberg. Though I think I would have gone Brady Shea, actually. But anyways, this is really in the weeds. You're just stalling because there's no one good to take on Boston.
Well, I was just waiting to make that comment. I didn't want to interrupt everyone, but I do think it's interesting. And you're probably right. But rest of the season, I think Blankenberg, you know, could be interesting. You're right that once Yossi's been back, he hasn't been as interesting. And you're also right that none of these forward options are inspiring at all on Boston. But I guess I'll go with Vikard Arvidsson, who's playing in the top six, I guess, and getting some decent exposure to the lesser options there in Boston and not really on a power play or second power play unit, but maybe he can rekindle some of his previous magic, but I'm not excited about the pick.
All right. Well, Vikard Arvidsson, your third injury prone player. We'll see how that goes. So let's take a quick break. We'll be back with Brian's next first. The holidays are heating up on Pick 6, DraftKings' newest fantasy pick'em game. Make your NBA picks for a shot to win big cash prizes this holiday season. Here's how it works. Just pick more or less on two or more player stats. The more accurate your picks, the bigger the payout. It's the kind of upside you'll only find on Pick 6, not those other pick'em sites, and it's available in most states, including Texas, California, Georgia, and more. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code THPN. New DraftKings customers can play just $5, get $50 in Pick 6 credits with code THPN. Ride the upside. In partnership with DraftKings Pick 6, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 credits that expire in 14 days. Terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. Limited time offer. Welcome back, Brian. Okay, you took Elias Lindholm from Boston. Now you get another first. Where are you taking us now?
I'm going to be this bit of a cowardly choice. I actually don't like the way things are looking for Alexis Lafreniere very much at all, but I really am pretty clueless as to who goes next for the Rangers. Oh, and I'm not doing my duty with apologies of naming the guys that I'm choosing not to take. So in Boston, just to go quickly, obviously Pastrnak, Geeky, and McAvoy were the only options that we couldn't take. For the Rangers, can't take Adam Fox, Panarin, Zibanejad, JT Miller, Vincent Trocheck, and Will Cooley, who's 71% rostered, which really leaves like a bunch of junk. And I see maybe one other guy with upside aside from Lafreniere. And I'm not even sure who that one guy is. Like maybe two half guys with upside equals one guy with upside. Lafreniere currently playing top line, top power play, doing absolutely nothing with it. He's got 2 points in his last seven games. They both came against Washington on the same night. But I'm going to just, it scares me to look beyond Lafreniere on the Rangers depth chart. So I'll take him. And I'm super, super curious to see who the next three to go are, starting with Jesse.
Hey, I'm happy here. I'm going to take Gabe Perreau, who is a son of Yannick, who has actually got the best point pace of the available players on this team, even though he's finally just been called a big prospect for this team. He's on power play too. He's playing in the top six. Got big scoring upside here. So this is a chancy one. I mean, who knows how much Perreau will even play for the rest of the year, but I like the upside if he does a lot more than I like what's left on this team.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't mind this pick here because I could just knock out another one of my defensemen. So I'll just grab our friend. Is he our friend? I don't know what I'm saying even at this point. But Vladislav Gavrikov is a guy who I think I saw he got a power play goal today. Sorry, that's what I was looking at where I sort of zoned out there for a second. Yeah, Gavrikov was on the top power play today for the Rangers. It's not going to last. Adam Fox is going to be healthy soon. But at least Gavrikov is still a minute muncher there. And I don't know. He won't do much, but the other options won't either. So I've got 2D down, so it'll be nice just not to have to think about that at some point. So Victor, where are you going now?
This is an awful team to go last. I was really hoping everyone would pass on Gabe Perreault because I agree that he might not play that much rest of the season, but I still would rather that chance than what most of these other guys offer, which is not much. So let's see. I'm basically deciding between, you know, bottom sixers, Johnny Brodzinski, Taylor Radish, Connor Sherry, Scott Murrow, who I like as a prospect, but he's even gotten some opportunity and hasn't done much with it. So I don't really think there's much there for this season anyway. So I don't know. You know, I think because the name has been doing well this season, his brother down in Tampa, I'll just go with Taylor Radish. Maybe he'll kindle some of that Radish magic and we'll get some excitement. But I think if you're looking for depth, rest of season options like this, I would look elsewhere because these are not exciting.
All right, well, take us somewhere exciting then for your first now.
All right, let's go to Minnesota. And there are a lot of players here that we can't take. Obviously, Kirill Kaprizov, Matt Boldy, Quinn Hughes, all taken. But so is Joel Eriksson Ek and Brock Faber. So, but there are actually some interesting players here, and I'm doing whoever's coming after me a favor. That would be Brian, because I think the second option here is pretty good as well. But I'm going to go ahead and take Matt Zuccarello. He hasn't been as good this season, but we know that he likes to work magic with Kaprizov, so I'm hoping that he can rekindle some of that and be really good rest of season. So I'm excited about Zuccarello.
Yeah, Zuccarello's a nice pick there. I gotta say, I was also considering him as my first. To be honest, I didn't think this moment was coming. I was not prepared to go beyond Matt Zuccarello. Is Ryan Hartman injured? Did he get hurt?
No, he's been playing on the top line.
Okay. Well, I'm confusing him with someone else.
He was injured at some point this season.
Yeah.
And then Yurov got on the top line.
Yeah. Now you're off the top line. I'm going to take Ryan Hartman with my next choice. I wish Brock Faber was less rostered. Unfortunately, that's not the case. So Ryan Hartman's not on a great pace. Marcus Johansson's on a better one and playing with Eriksson Ek and Boldy. But yeah, called it a hunch. I think Hartman and Johansson, for whatever, despite their very different point paces, are roughly a wash. So that's who I'm taking.
All right, so I'll just take Johansson. He's been playing with Boldy and Eriksson Ek.
Whoa!
I keep messing. I'm so used to Brian talking and then me talking.
Wow.
I guess he gets.
You need me to
no,
throw
sir.
Explicitly
Mojo.
To Jesse.
Okay. Mojo is coming to me. Yeah, the Marcus Johansson is having himself a hot year, 28 points in 36 games. So sorry, Elon. I hate to take the guy you brought up, but there's still good options on this team.
Great options. I'm actually really happy that happened, you know, because I was a trick and you fell for it.
I didn't even think about him until you said something, Elon.
Give me Tarasenko. He'll, you know, sometimes he does something. For a fourth pick, I think I could do worse. So fine. There. Now I know it's my pick, though, because I'm starting round 7 here. So no yelling. Everyone mute yourselves, except if you want to unmute for your gasps of disappointment, because I've taken one of these top picks away from you. Going Anze Kopitar. The farewell season going pretty well, especially lately. I'll jump in. I know there's some other good options on the Kings, but I think Kopi's the one like safe option that's going to get the good deployment. I'm being basic. Like, I took Norris with my last first. I'm taking Kopi. Or give me a top line, top power play, or whatever, top six, top power play. That I'm a simple guy. I don't also look too much about who's getting the second pick. So I know, am I giving Victor a gift? Depends if he wants a recent hat trick or not. We'll see. Okay, Victor, you're up.
Yeah, that's interesting that you went LA, because I feel like that's a good pick, but I feel like a lot of their guys are kind of close in terms of their point paces. Though, as you said, top line, top power play, hard to argue with that. None of these other guys are for sure that. But I'm going to go ahead and knock out one of my defenseman picks, Drew Doughty. I know that, you know, well, Clark, did you say who was rostered on this team?
Oops, no, I didn't. I'll do it right now very quickly for you. So on LA, you cannot take Kempe, Fiala, Byfield, or Brandt Clark, who I guess in Fantrax, the prospect people are, you know, bump some of these people up. So I guess in your dynasty leagues, Clark is rostered more than in a one-year league, but that's what we decided. So yeah, you can't take Clark.
Yeah, I'm sure in the cupful, Doughty is seems like he probably would be more because of the periffs, because Clark is pretty light there. They've been splitting power play duties. It's kind of been leaning more Clark lately, but you know, I think that they could easily flip back to Doughty. So that's why I don't mind that pick. He's pretty similar to some of the other forwards that are available too. So I'll knock out a second defenseman here with Doughty.
All right. That leaves me with, I think, a pretty clear-cut pick in Alex Laferriere, who's on the top line right now. He had a hat trick on Saturday, and that was great because he had not, he doesn't do anything much these days anymore. I'm really doing a great job of just ripping apart every guy that I draft, including Lafreniere, who I drafted first on his team. But the hat trick on five shots came after a 9-shot game for Laferriere. He already has a shot tonight, 2.5 minutes of ice time. So if he's on pace for 8 shots tonight, if he gets as many minutes as he has the last few nights. So I'm going to hope that Laferriere can run with the momentum he's got and make him my third choice on LA. And I'll send it to Jesse to close the deal.
Man, there are teams where I wrote down, you know, because you have to think, who are the teams that I want the first pick on if I can get it? This is not the team I would have wanted the first pick, but this is the team that I least wanted the fourth pick on, I think, because you guys took, I think, far and away the best three players on this team, which is going to leave me with the gross choices. I'm going to take Corey Perry because they're going to keep using him. He's still getting some power play time. He's, you know, he's playing some fourth line, but he'll run into some points for the rest of the year. You know he will. So let's scrape a little bit off the barrel here with Corey Perry, and then that goes right back to me. I get to be the first picker on this next round, and I will be happy to go to Tampa, to the Tampa Bay Lightning, where I am going to take Anthony Cirelli as my first pick. I feel like he is a good fair distance away from the rest of the guys and there with Gensel. He's going to put up some points here in the second half.
Okay, so yeah, the Radish brother, I won't be able to join his brother in players taken because he's unavailable, along with Hedman, Point, Hagel, Gensel, Kucherov. So who does that leave me as the second pick here on Tampa? Yeah, so the thing is, like, Cirelli hasn't even been that great either, so it's not as if I'm, like, really sad about not getting the first pick there, even if I don't love the other options. Lately, they've been rolling with Cirelli, Gensel, and Hagel as a line, then Point, Kucherov, and Gonsalves, so I don't really want any of them. Well, I mean, I want all of them, but I can't. The only one that's available is Gonsalves, and I don't want him, so I guess I could do a D or go Bjorkstrand, who gets some power play time. Yeah, give me Bjorkstrand, whatever. That's a terrible second. That's not fun. That wasn't nice. Jesse, to give me a second pick. That's so boring. But I guess that was your strategy. I'm out here giving gifts. But all right. So Victor, you're up. Maybe that was a bad pick. I went Bjorkstrand.
Well, maybe you're influenced by his recent point streak. Bjorkstrand had a couple recently, so maybe that was part of it. I don't think I'm giving anything away if I mention Ryan McDonagh, who's interesting, but he's injured and looks like he might not travel with the team. So that seems a bit risky. And then Nick Paul is probably another boring, but sort of safe pick. You know, he often gets flexed up and down the lineup and it's sort of interesting. Either that or a defenseman that's really boring. So go ahead and give me Nick Paul. That's fine. I think he will be sort of close to Bjorkstrand rest of season.
All right. And that brings it to my pick. And I don't know, like Elon, you mentioned Gage Gonsalves. He's got 4 points in his last four games, shooting the puck a little bit also, playing with Kucherov. Only like 11, 13 minutes a night, so not a ton of ice time. And not doing enough for me to take him over J.J. Moser. Doing what I wish I did with my Devils pick, which is just eschew the forwards to get a defenseman. I'd love to be able to like pick Yanni Gourde even and be like, yeah, maybe he can do. But really, I don't think anyone like J.J. Moser. Hey, he's got that Darren Radish exposure. So I'm going to take him, and I'll be surprised if he's really outpointed by that much by any of the other guys the rest of the way.
So back, my first pick. So this is going to be my last chance to pick first for a while. There's a couple options here. I'm going to go to the St. Louis Blues and take me some Jake Neighbors, who is on pretty good point pace this year. Remember last year, he got himself on a really good point pace. He did miss some time. He isn't quite on the, you know, he's not playing the top minutes on the team, but he is getting some power play time. Actually, he is playing on the first line right now with Thomas and Buchnevich as we record this. So as more guys get sold off, who knows what kind of scoring environment there will even be in St. Louis. But Jake Neighbors is my favorite of what remains. Oh, and I should say that the Blues that we cannot take here, Robert Thomas, Jordan Kyrou, Justin Falk, and Dylan Holloway.
Man, that's wild how far Buchnevich has fallen to not even be the first pick here when he used to be like one of their top fantasy assets. But I'll take him. I'll take Pavel Buchnevich second here. He only has 21 points in 40 games on the year, coming off a recent 2-goal game for what it's worth against Nashville. Maybe he can build on that in the second half, so I don't mind that. He might have been my first pick on St. Louis if we went far enough deep into the draft. Would have been close. I mean, Jake Neighbors has had his runs for sure. But yeah, okay. So Victor, you get to go next on St. Louis.
Yeah, I definitely would enjoy some Buchnevich. He was one who last year, I remember, was kind of like this and then took off at the end of the season and really helped me in Cupful. So that might end up working out really well for you. There's a bunch of really meh guys after that. You know, I think there's some decent players, but no one that's like super exciting. I guess Shen is sort of like your easy, boring kind of guy who should get some points. But I kind of think I'm going to go a little bit more fun and go with Jimmy Snuggerud. And I know that Snuggerud, he's a high-end prospect. I know he's kind of not done too much this season. His deployment's kind of also varied. But I'm hoping that after, 30 games or so, he can find his footing, stay on that power play, and get some good opportunities. He has been getting a lot of power play time, so at least that's good with some really good players. So hopefully he can keep that streak going. So getting snuggy with it.
All right, and that leaves me with the last pick on St. Louis, which is pretty undesirable, as by design, I'm sure, Jesse. I could go Braden Schenn, who's doing a whole lot of nothing this year. He's on a 33-point pace. Or I could go Philip Broberg, who I rostered for a while because he pointed often enough and had good peripherals, although those won't help me here. But Broberg plays playing big minutes on the top pair right now with Colton Parayko, seeing 23 minutes a night on average, and on a 27-point pace, which is just 6 fewer points than Braden Schenn. So I think this is going to be like a Moser pick here. Give me, because I feel like I remember the last time I did this, I left the D too late. So I have a little more control of my fate here. A little bit of shout out while we're here. So I'm taking Broberg, but just to Robbie Fabry, who's back in the league and pointed in his first couple games. And he's in and out of the lineup. All right. He's a bottom of the lineup player these days. And also Dalibor Dvorsky, who's seeing, he got a small cup of coffee last season. He's played 30 games this season. But has seen his ice time and deployment increase somewhat over the last couple weeks and is making some of it, like 4 points in his last 7 games, nothing to write home about. Actually, 6 games to get that correct. So I'm naming him. I'm not taking him, but I'm naming him as as someone. He's playing with Snug, Rude, and Fabry right now. Shen's playing with Kairu and Otto Stenberg, who I unfortunately don't have much to say about, but he's got 4 points, including a point tonight in 4 games now.
Okay, so you got Broberg. I think Fowler would have been another option. I'll bet you they'll be pretty similar in points, Broberg and Fowler.
Broberg, Fowler, Pareko. I could have taken any of them. I took just that
difference.
I don't think there's a... I took the guy who's playing the most minutes.
All right, so I'm going to make a pick now. It's my pick to go first. And I want a classic, like, give me a player on a team that I don't like any of the other players. So I'm going to Montreal. They have some players that maybe I would like if they weren't injured, but unfortunately. I like a guy who I mentioned recently on Matchup Maximizer because they have a good schedule this week, and I picked him up, and he's playing on a line with the recent, I think, third star of the week in Slafkovský. It's Oliver Kapanen. He's been centering that line with Slafkovský and Demidov. I think people are starting to realize, I've been seeing tweets lately about how, like, this has been recently like the Habs' top line, like it's been their best line. The three like young kids all under 21 years old, I think, and just scorching. And like, obviously, yeah, I can't have Demidov and I can't have Slafkovský. And I know I said that wrong, but I'll just keep rolling. I also can't have, of course, Suzuki, Caulfield, Hudson, Dobson, or Mike Matheson even. Mike Matheson, 78% rostered. I'm surprised by that, but okay. Solve for peripherals. But for our format, yeah, Kapanen is like slowly putting, and I feel like there's been a few times on the podcast where I've been like, yeah, look, by the way, Kapanen's good. Like, not that I'm interested, but just FYI. But, you know, after his assist yesterday, we're now at 4 points in his last 4 games, 20 points and 38 on the year. But it's climbing recently just due to that exposure. I mean, I'm sure he's a really good prospect himself, but like due to that exposure to Demidov and Slafkovský makes him pretty interesting. Plus, as our listeners will hear, the other options less interesting, especially with the recent top line change that happened today. So I think this is the one line that's going to stick for a while. So yeah, I'll take Kapanen, and then Victor, you can share who you like on Montreal.
Yeah, that was definitely one where I think you it's good to go first, and I like that pick a lot. There's some interesting players here. They got some, you know, they just acquired Blais and Texier, so there's some new names on this team, and they've kind of... Yeah, I don't know. They've kind of been shuffling things around a bit. So I feel like a lot of things are in flux. There's also a defenseman who had been out for a while, and he's back now, Caden Gooley. Of course, they have some guys ahead of him now. Of course, Hudson, of course, but also Matheson and Dobson. So he's kind of been pushed down the lineup a little bit. But I kind of feel like that might be the pick because I think these other guys are pretty similar. And so I'm just going to go ahead and take Caden Gooley and knock off another defenseman. I feel like he's kind of been forgotten a bit. He's a pretty good all-situation kind of player, and he usually logs pretty heavy minutes, although it might be a little less this season. But I think Montreal can score some goals, and I think he'll get in on some of those assists. So hopefully Caden Gooley can do that. Wait, is he injured? Am I mistaken this?
Well, you said he just came back. I was curious to ask you what your source is for that, because I'm using GameDayTweets.com, and I'm not seeing anything since like a couple weeks ago. So he was placed on LTIR.
I'm sorry. Can I redo that?
We can redo it. For what it's worth, 8 to 10 weeks for Gooley was the timeline, which would take him to like mid to late January.
I don't know what I was looking at. I thought I saw that he was back, but that is not who I want to take. I'm sorry. Okay.
All right. Retake it.
I just assume you like the injured guys. All right. Who are you going to take? I'm not going to edit this out because I like the part where you complimented my Kapanen pick. So you can just now take someone else.
Yeah. And Alex Newhook would have been another interesting one, but he is also injured.
And Kirby Doc, by the way, injured. Just somebody just letting you know in advance.
Yeah.
What's the most obscure Montreal injury right now? Going over to Puck.
Patrick Laine. He's injured. That's not very obscure, but don't take him. Yeah, when I was looking through Montreal, I was like, yeah, there's a bunch of interesting guys that are all hurt. Then I wouldn't have taken Kapanen if I could have taken Laine or Doc or Newhook.
FYI, Jake Evans injured.
Yeah, he's hurt. Yeah.
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 Just keep listing them all. I don't want to make another mistake. So
that's it. That's all of them.
Look, basically, you can take either Bolduc, Josh Anderson, or Brendan Gallagher, or Texier, or I guess
Joe Valeno.
You know, there's two more picks Sammy after Blay. Him. What's going on here?
I'm literally just listing the players that are on the roster right now.
Arbor Chaikai.
Chaikai.
As far as I mean, the Habs are doing really well, by the way.
Only day to day up there. So you're
Florian
okay.
Chaikai.
To be fair, Florian's back in the minors, but Brian, come on, be up to date on your Chaikai.
He's not injured. Yeah.
He's not injured. That's true. We should say we're not making fun of the Habs. This is just like they have so many players that are over 70% rostered. This team has just been picked dry.
Yeah.
All right. So
all right. I know
Victor,
who I'm picking.
Do yeah. it.
I'm going to take Zach Bolduc, who is currently playing at least the last lines with Caulfield and Suzuki. So,
well, incorrect.
He that.
But he was recently with them. But today they changed it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Elon, you blew up. A little too much table talk there. You named all the guys. Bolduc was going to be my choice.
I was literally just listing the names of players. I wasn't doing it in any particular order.
He's who I was going to take, Brian. Don't worry.
I don't even think you had said his name, actually. And I was okay, this is
he
easy.
He was who I was going to take until I deviated and went with
uh-huh. I'm gonna go with Texier. Then he's playing with Caulfield and Suzuki for like who knows, you know, for 5 minutes. We'll see if he plays another 5 minutes with them the rest of the way. But I will take that chance with Alex Texier.
And I will take the other Montreal reclamation project with Philip Deneau, who hopefully will do more than he did in LA.
All right, someone was busy screwing in a chair while you were picking. But I think we heard it. Deneau. All right, and now Victor's up.
This is a squeaky pick.
All right. Wasn't me.
All right. This time I know who I want, where I want to go, and hopefully this works out. We're gonna go to Edmonton. And as you might imagine, there are a whole lot of people you cannot draft. Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, the Nuge, Zach Hyman, Evan Bouchard, Jake Walman, who's injured, Darnell Nurse. But they recently got an outjured Jack Roslovic, and I'm not sure that he's going to maintain his cushy deployment forever, but he often gets to play with either McDavid or Draisaitl, so I'm hoping he can stick there. And he's been pretty effective when he has been in there, and you know, Edmonton can put on a lot of points, so Jack Roslovic is who I'm going to take.
Okay, yeah, good pick, Victor. There's not a ton of options here. This is similar to Montreal, and I'm happy to be picking one earlier. And I'm going to take Matthias Ekholm, who is back. Has he been back a while? Is that yeah?
He hasn't done anything, but he's been back.
He's pointless in six. He doesn't shoot. Like whatever. He's on the ice over 20 minutes a night for the most part. And for me, that's about as much as I could ask for. I guess there is a forward around, but I'm not sure. And I'm not going to name names, but I'm not sure that forward or two really has a great chance of outpointing just like a solid 35-point pace is what I'm hoping for from Matthias Ekholm, which Elon, I believe, gives me three defensemen. Feel free to check me on that.
The spreadsheet shows it. It's and then spreadsheet.
Well, right now you've selected the cell that Ekholm. Oh, no. I've control left, so I, yeah. Okay, we're good. Jesse, over to you for third pick on Edmonton.
Yes, sir. Well, I would have enjoyed getting Ekholm there, but I will go with one of those forwards and take Podkolzin, who is lining up with Draisaitl right now. I mean, somebody has to. And yeah, he's gotten a few points this year. It just sort of depends. This team is got a lot of players in flux, but Podkolzin seems to have been successful enough of the time that I'm hoping he'll hang on in that top six.
Yikes. Yeah. That does not leave me with much. This is a rough go of it here. Like if I look at the lines from today, it was RNH McDavid Hyman, Draisaitl Podkolzin and Matt Savoy. So I guess that's an option. Trent Frederick, Roslovic and Janmark. I mean, I don't know if Roslovic is worth a first pick, but I guess, you got to put the screws in on me, so that's fun. And then Jones, Henrik Lazar, which Jones? Max Jones? Some Jones.
He was in Edmonton. at some point.
He's there.
I think he was traded at towards the deadline last season.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I can go D. I know they traded for Spencer Stastny. Has Spencer Stastny done anything since he went to Edmonton? Remember when they traded for Spencer Stastny because they traded away Brett Kulak as part of that whole thing?
Yeah.
He hasn't done anything. He hasn't got a point yet. Mm. There's no points. Maybe he's playing well defensively. But I'm not going to take him in fantasy. All right, give me Matt Savoy. I think he was supposed to be a good prospect. At some point, someone told me he was a good prospect. It was probably the Fantasy Hockey Life podcast that told me he was a good prospect. So now I have him in this draft. Brian, you're up.
Okay. I'm picking first overall. And boy, what a thrill. I'm going to go... we're getting to the point where it's going to be hard to pick a team that doesn't gift a solid player to the next person. We're running out of those teams where just there's one really good option. I think I'm going to go to a team where the top player available is just someone that I really like and I believe in, and that's Owen Tippett over in Philly, where I can't take Konechny, Zegras, or Michkov, but the rest of the team is up for grabs. And believe it or not, still kind of slim pickings over there. Some really interesting names. I wouldn't mind having a bunch of these other guys, but Tippett sort of jumps off the page to me as someone who's going to be someone I could be feeling good about having the rest of the way through. So Jesse, you're up second.
Yeah, that's a very good pick. Owen Tippett is a very talented player to be on the board, the 63%. So he was creeping up toward that number, but a very good available player. I just can't quit Sean Couturier. And I know it's been a couple of years since he was all that, but he is over half a point per game right now. He's 5 goals, 16 assists, 21 points in 35 games. So, and I believe he's the captain. Yeah, he's going to be my guy from the Philadelphia Flyers. Elon, your move.
Yeah, ooh, that's a rough pick, but good luck to you with Sean Couturier. Sorry, okay. So next up is me. So I got two guys I'm looking at. One for, I think I'll just knock out a D here. Give me Drysdale. He's been quarterbacking the top power play. Obviously, he's not the guy that Anaheim thought they were drafting at sixth overall 5 years ago now. But I'm seeing that Drysdale has 3 points in his last 5 games, 2 of them on the power play. So, yeah, why not? I think it's a solid pick. I got my third D now, just like Brian. And then Victor, you saw some fun forwards to take. There's one that's at the top of my mind.
Yeah, I would imagine that would be Christian Dvorak, who's entering the top line, actually, with Konechny and Zegras, at least recently. So that's kind of interesting. Not that those other picks were bad. I think those are good players.
I think Couturier was bad.
All right.
Oh, man. Come on. Yeah. He and Dvorak are pretty close. I don't know, man. I'm Coots
well,
forever.
You were mean about my Roslovic pick. I think he's going to have more points than any of your guys. So there you go.
Matt Savoy is beating Roslovic. You'll see.
Oh, that sounds like a bet. I would take that any day. Yeah, I'm glad you took Drysdale because I was strongly considering that, and that might work, it might not. Cam York has a better point pace for now, but it's definitely been Drysdale on the top power play recently, although it's been kind of shifting around a bit. I think this is a good time to just take Christian Dvorak and not think too much about it, so I'm going to do that. And Brian, back to you.
Oh, great, because I am not feeling prepared at all. I know, Elon, I've had a lot of time to think about this. I just kind of took a detour into considering someone else that I was not considering before. I think I'm going to just do what I did, and I'm just going to go to the team with maybe the best player who's still, I'm just comparing some fourth, but you know what? I don't think I am going to take the best player. He could turn out to be the best player remaining. But Jesse, this is going to be a nice little gift to you because I'm going to Dallas, where I think it's actually two pretty equal options at the top. Just one has been solid since coming back from injury, and the other hasn't found his game again since coming back from injury. So I'm going to go to solid, and I'll take Jamie Benn first on Dallas. The guys that we can't take in Dallas include Jason Robertson, Mikko Rantanen, Wyatt Johnston, Miro Heiskanen, Roope Hintz, and Thomas Harley, all 90% plus owned, which is interesting. You know, Thomas Harley still coasting on his laurels, I think, there. We did talk about him a little while ago when he became available in my cupful division, and I think I made a very modest bid for him in free agency, and I was badly outbid. But I don't know. Of course, the potential is there to explode. We talked about it on the show. If Heiskanen, gets bumped off the top power play, but Harley 93% rostered while off the top power play, to me, I'd like to play in some of those leagues. Anyway, Jamie Benn, I'll take first on Dallas, which I think Jesse gives you a really easy one. And then Victor and Elon, I wish you the best.
Man, now I'm stressed. I'm trying to think of exactly. Maybe it should be more obvious to me than it is. There's a couple of guys who I really like here. I think I'm going to go. Well, let me see. I just want to check one thing here. Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Maverick Bourque, who's on the second line. I'm not even sure that's the guy. I don't think that's the guy that Brian's talking about. So this is probably a gift to Elon, as it turns out. But
we'll see.
I'm gonna take old Maverick. I think he is going to do a little bit better than he has so far this year. But we'll see what happens.
Look, like Bourque is on the best line. He's playing with Robertson and Hintz. I guess unless you want to say the guy playing with Johnston and Rantanen, Sam Steele. I don't think that's but I'm not going to take Sam Steele. I'm actually going to take a third liner, but things can change quickly. Yeah, name value. He's sucked all year. He's been injured. But yeah, I assume Brian was thinking the gift was Matt Duchene.
Yeah.
I think for a third pick on Dallas, I'll take Matt Duchene. He's been playing with Jamie Benn, so maybe Brian and I will just end up with similar points. They're both on the power play together, the second unit that doesn't get that much ice time, with Brian's least favorite player, Thomas Harley. So, I think I'll take Duchene. I hope he can rekindle some of the magic from last year. So, Victor, where are you going now?
I'm going to take the totally not injured Tyler Seguin. No, I'm just kidding. I was looking at Matt Duchene thinking, like, God, why isn't he doing more? And then you also mentioned Sam Steele, who I can't think of too many guys who have a better opportunity and do less with it. Like, he's just there, never doing anything with it. And it's really frustrating because it's a guy you'd want to stream. He just is really annoying and boring.
I remember, Brian, when we started the podcast, it was like Steele and Terry on Anaheim. We're like, Anaheim's going to be good soon once Steele and Terry
Jones,
get going.
Max Comtois. Steele was someone we thought would show up. Yeah, he didn't.
Sorry, Victor.
No, it's true. All right, I'm going to take one of my defensemen, Esa Lindell, who's kind of boring, you know, good for Prifs, but he's on a half point per game base, which is decent enough, and Dallas scores a lot. So hopefully he can get in on some of that action. So Esa Lindell. And then it is my turn to go first, right? So I am going to go to Anaheim, and I'm going to take the recently uninjured and on the top power play, Mikael Granlund. So hopefully he'll continue his hot streak. He's been doing pretty decently lately. So 16 points in 20 games. Hopefully he can continue that. And over to Brian.
Yeah. I think he's been really quiet lately, but I think I got to take... Did you mention, Victor? Sorry, did you mention who is not available?
He did not.
No, okay. I would.
Okay, that's okay. So I will. Jackson Lacombe. There aren't a lot of teams where defense is the highest rostered player, and I wouldn't have guessed that Anaheim would be one of them, but he indeed leads 97% rostered on Yahoo. Or Fantrax, sorry. Yeah. Lacombe, Gauthier, Leo Carlson, Troy Terry, Mason McTavish, Beckett, Senecky, all unavailable. And so, Victor, you start with Granlund. I'm going to go with Chris Kreider, who I just dropped in another league that's like, it's not terribly deep, but like he had done some damage for me earlier in the season. But gosh, he has really fallen off. Like, Kreider hasn't even taken a shot in four of his last six games. Before that, there were only two games in the whole season where he hadn't taken a shot out of the, I guess, 28 he'd played up to that point. So I don't know if there's like an injury being nursed or what's going on. His minutes are not like they're fine. I don't think there's enough of a pattern to decide that they're falling. But yeah, it's there's some movement in the depth chart that Chris Kreider just hasn't. He has 1 point. It's an assist in his last nine games. He hasn't scored a goal since December 1st. That's 13 games ago now. Would love to see more from him, especially now that he's on my team in this format. And Jesse, that brings you the third pick in Anaheim.
Yeah, I'm not unhappy about this because that's an opportunity for me to scoop a defenseman in Jacob Trouba, who's on about a half point a game pace so far this year, a little bit under that. And he's not getting power play time, obviously, with Lacombe there. But, you know, enough pucks are going to bounce off him in the neutral zone and go tic-tac-toe with Gauthier and Carlson and such that he'll get some second assists. Let's go for that. So Jacob Trouba for me, back to Elon.
Okay, and that's your first defenseman, Jesse. So yeah, you got one on the board. Meanwhile, I've got three out of the six that are required. I guess I'm going to go into the next podcast, part two, not having to worry much about D, because I think I'm going to grab another D as well here, because the remaining forwards, kind of bleak. Like, it looks like I'm deciding between like Paling and Ryan Strome and Killorn. Remember when Frank Vatrano was really good? That feels like forever ago, even though that was just like last year, but he's injured also now.
I don't even think it was quite last year, for what it's worth.
Beginning of last year? Maybe?
Yeah, it might have been beginning of last year.
I'll take Zellweger. He's not too far behind Jacob Trouba. Not exciting, but I don't see him doing much worse than all those other guys I just mentioned. Which then brings me to a first pick that I have waiting for me. And I think this is a pretty good one. I guess I'll be curious what the crowd thinks, but I'll go to Carolina, and I like Jackson Blake over there. So the players unavailable to me are Jarvis, Aho, Gossespierre, Nikishin, Svechnikov, Ehlers, which, yeah, doesn't leave much, especially in the vein of like top sixers. And lately it's been Jackson Blake playing with Ehlers and Kotkaniemi on, I guess, the second line, but also more importantly, the top power play. We'll see if that lasts once everyone's healthy. But in the meantime, like, Seth Jarvis is injured, and so that's obviously giving Blake an opportunity. But he was doing okay even when everyone was healthy, although that was when Svechnikov was being bumped down the lineup. So this might not be the most slam dunk, but at this point in the draft, I'm pretty happy with Jackson Blake, especially looking at some of the other options over in Carolina, and especially since I don't even need defensemen. So over to Victor.
Yeah, that's decent. I didn't want to pick Carolina just because I don't think the separation is huge, but I do think he's clearly the best player. But it's definitely one of those teams I don't mind going later. In fact, I think third or fourth would even be fine here. A lot of their guys are so similar. But I'm going to go with Keandre Miller, knock off another defenseman. One thing I like to look at when I do these is who has which defenseman are at least like that 0.4 been above points per game, and he's at least there, so hopefully you're not losing too much by taking that defenseman. So he gets some opportunity. In fact, I think Gossespierre was out tonight and he got a little bit more opportunity, so there's always a chance he gets that. Plus Carolina scores a decent amount, so Keandre Miller. And back over to Brian.
I'll just mention quickly, sorry, Nikishin was on top power play today, kind of interesting, but again, I think Gossespierre is just a short-term thing.
Yeah, Nikishin 84% rostered. Also, to Keandre Miller's 59%. I'll make it quick. I'm gonna go for like I could go like Garrett like steady 45 points or go for some upside. And I'm gonna try and go for some upside here with Logan Stankoven, who is last seen on the top line with Sebastian Aho and Andrei Svechnikov. Occasionally gets a turn on the I don't know if I say the top. No, I was going to say, like, sometimes he's taken a shift with Sebastian Aho on the power play today, but also with Jordan Staal and Jackson Blake. I guess that was when Nick Ehlers would have come on to replace him at some point. He's usually not the one. Whatever. Maybe it was Staal. I'm going to take Logan Stankoven. There's not a whole lot to say about it. A couple shots a game. Still some upside there. He's turns 23 at the end of February. And I still think that, I'm going to hope he can surpass the sort of guaranteed 45 points that pace that you could expect from at least one other member of the Canes lineup, who I wonder if Jesse will take fourth on Carolina.
I suppose I'll take Jesperi Kotkaniemi just because he's playing some decent minutes. I was tempted to go with Sean Walker just to cross another defenseman off the sheet, but I suppose that's a good enough position on a good enough offense that that's where I have to go. So Jesperi Kotkaniemi will be my choice there. And it stays with me to lead off the next round. Let's see here. I'm going to go to the New York Islanders and take Anders Lee as my first pick here. Good scoring for that team. They're a little bit more offensively exciting than they have been for a while. I should say, let's see, the Islanders do not have available Bo Horvat, Matt Barzal, or Matthew Schaefer. Those are the only three guys who are over the threshold. So, and there's a couple other guys other people might even like better than Anders Lee, but I think he's going to be able to keep up his, you know, 53-point scoring pace into the second half easily. He's reliable as a clock.
Right. I don't know now what to do because I wish I had a later pick actually on the Islanders. I feel like, again, you're kind of giving me a second where it's like, some people are getting these seconds and are really getting some nice options there.
You got Duchesne third, so I think...
I mean, Duchesne really sucks, by the way, right now. I guess you're assuming.
He's been back like three games.
Yeah, that's fair. Give me, I guess, Drouin, even though he's not playing with Horvat right now. But generally, he's been getting decent deployment and he's pointless in five games, which isn't very exciting. You know, as I look deeper into this, since I haven't officially locked in my pick yet and looked at anyone's reactions, I mean, I guess no one is really getting too many points lately for... All right, fine. I'll take Drouin. I don't love it, though, guys. But yeah, I'll take Jonathan Drouin. So, Victor, you're up. Some good options there.
Yeah, definitely not the worst team to go later. They're all kind of similar at this point. There's some decent forwards who are getting some decent deployment, but not really doing a whole lot with it. I guess Emil Heinemann had a minute. But it hasn't had much lately. I think I'm just gonna do the boring thing and take Ryan Pulock and take my fifth defenseman because I think he's not too dissimilar from some of the other forwards here. So yeah, I'll just take another defenseman and over to you, Brian.
All right, I think I'll take a bit of a swing with this last pick here, and I'm gonna take Simon Holmstrom, who has been seen with Horvat. Has been seen with Barzal at 5-on-5 on occasion, also has gotten at least a few, like a shift on the power play. Like there's Shabanov, there's Heinemann. Heinemann's been really quiet lately. I'm really just taking Holmstrom on the strength of the fact he has 8 points in his last 10 games. He did absolutely nothing for the 13 games prior to that. So I feel like, you know, there's 4 10 game stretches left in the season. If you can have one or two more like this one, I'll be content. So I will take Simon Holmstrom for no very good reason.
Yeah, and I guess that takes us to the end of the Keeping Carlson portion of the podcast. So that's 16 rounds down, 16 to go. If you want to hear the rest of this exciting draft, you'll have to go and check out the episode of Fantasy Hockey Life. So thanks, everyone, so much to listening to Keeping Carlson. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Hopefully, my solo efforts over these past couple of weeks have gone down okay. I promise Brian will be back for another regular mega show next Sunday as we get back into the swing of things. So Happy New Year, everybody, and see you on Fantasy Hockey Life. And also make sure you're subscribed to get short shifts this week. Everything's back to normal. All right. Match a maximizer and then a mega show this Sunday. So I'm excited. Good luck, everyone, this week in fantasy. And I don't know. Brian, do you want to say any closing words? We don't have to do the whole credits, right? Or do you want to do that?
No, I don't think this is a credit show. It's like not a credit show. Thank you to our patrons. Thank you to everyone who supported us this year. A special thank you to our super supporters as well. GameDayTweets.com has all the good stuff. Brendan Weeb logos, Pat Roach. You know, once you use Pat Roach, our intro, our outro music, It's hard once you start. You don't want to leave anyone out. But I'm gonna draw the line there. Thank you all. Fantasy hockey is for everyone. And we'll see you over at Fantasy Hockey Life.